Welcome to Season 4 of E-Commerce Fastlane. This podcast helps resilient entrepreneurs thrive with Shopify. And now, on to episode 209.
You're listening to E-Commerce Fastlane, the podcast show to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company. Powered by Shopify. Listen to real conversations with partners and subject matter experts as they share proven practical strategies, platforms, and the best Shopify apps to help you accelerate your business. The time is now for you to improve efficiencies, grow revenue, profit, and lifetime customer loyalty. Please welcome your host, startup founder, and strategic advisor, Steve Hutt.
You know something? Accidents can happen to your Shopify store. Maybe you installed an app and it messed up your theme, or a store collaborator deleted product images by mistake. The common myth is that Shopify has a backup that you can use when something goes wrong. The truth is, they don't. So what do? You use Rewind to protect your store with automated backups. The Rewind app should be the first thing you install to protect your store against human error, misbehaving apps, or even collaborators gone bad. It's honestly like having your very own magic undo button. And it's trusted by over 100,000 businesses, from side hustles to the biggest online retailers like Gatorade and Movement Watches. It's even a Shopify Plus certified app partner, which means it has the reliability, security, and privacy you need to protect your brand. Install the Rewind app today and respond to any of their welcome emails and mention the E-Commerce Fastlane podcast, and you'll get your first month absolutely free. Enjoy peace of mind with Rewind Backups. Find it in the Shopify App Store or by visiting rewind.com. Well, hey there, it's Steve, and welcome back to the E-Commerce Fastlane podcast. Now, if this is your first time listening, this is an e-commerce show where we have honest and transparent conversations about building and thriving with your store powered by Shopify or Shopify Plus. Now, if you're an ambitious lifelong learner, which you probably are since you're here today, you're definitely in the right place. Now, new episodes are available twice weekly with your favorite podcast players like Apple Podcast, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and many more. You can also stream current episodes, including a very relevant back catalog. I think today's episode's 209, but so we have 208 other episodes of partners in the Shopify ecosystem, a lot of the problems that they're solving, helping brands to grow and scale or improve efficiencies, a lot of great offers there too. So check out the back catalog, ecommercefastlane.com. So in today's episode, my guest is John Marcella, who's the founder and CEO of a company called JasperPim. And what they are is an e-commerce acceleration tool that helps Shopify merchants to quickly organize, automate, and then syndicate their product information accurately, saving a lot of time, reducing errors, like forget the spreadsheets, and really honestly increasing more sales velocity. It's really interesting. I believe this is going to be a timely episode. A lot of brands are, at least from my vantage point, are planning for their international expansion in 2022. And today, I believe you're really going to learn, I'm going to learn a lot too, why it's imperative to have a single source of truth for your product data. A lot of people believe that maybe it just needs to reside inside Shopify, which it does, because that's part of what the catalog is. But you'll see, hopefully out of this podcast recording, that there is benefits of having a PIM for your brand. So let's jump in and learn more. So hi, John. Welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane.
Thanks for having me, Steve. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure. You know, PIMs and product information management, unfortunately, has not really been on my radar. I know of them, and I have a cursory knowledge of the benefits of why someone may want one. The reality is that I feel that there was a lot of other pieces of MarTech or other different types of solutions and things that just, I tend to focus my energies more on other different things. And PIM wasn't on top of my list. Now, part of it was that maybe I was more involved in the marketing strategy of a brand and helping them to drive net new visitors and working on the marketing part of it. Whereas I believe there's also some opportunity in the back office and how merchandisers and product merchandisers, how they handle this sort of information. And I never really got under the hood to understand a lot of that. And hoping to pull that out of today's episode. So maybe on a high level, let's talk first about Jasper, the product, the problem it's solving, just on a high level first, and then we'll figure out why it's different versus what's going on natively in Shopify.
Absolutely. Yeah, so let me start with just saying that it's not uncommon for people to have misconceptions about product information management and, you know, why do I need a PIM? What's the right time that I need to put a PIM in? And how will it help my Shopify, either if I have a single store or certainly multiple stores? What can I do with the PIM? It is a very new piece of technology. It's only been around for a few years where other parts of e-commerce technology or have been around for a couple decades now. So I'm very happy to share because, of course, this is our bread and butter. This is what we do. So let's talk about what Jasper does for Shopify brands. First and foremost, we help each consumer, we help them reach new selling opportunities and to quickly set up and manage multiple Shopify stores and marketplaces all automatically from a single source of truth, which is what a PIM is. And so a PIM allows you to create rules that take basic product data and turn it into something much more rich. So you can do things inside of a PIM to your product data sort of before it and transform it as it's going out the door. And so that's one of the things that a PIM does really well is allows you as a merchandiser who is working on your product data sets in a very focused tool, which is Jasper PIM, and you're putting all your products in one place. You have all of your assets, your digital content, all these things in one single place. And you use the PIM to create publication rules that can dynamically decide, well, which product should go to this Shopify store and which product should go to another Shopify store. And maybe I've got specialty stores or I have different brands. There's a whole set of permutations as to why you might want to have different taxonomies, different content go to different storefronts, not to mention marketplaces. Amazon's a great example as well. And then finally, within the PIM, there's batch management and scheduling content. There's organically, and as we've designed the tool to be very Shopify friendly, the goal is to round out some of the edges in the product information management capability within Shopify so that we're providing value to even small merchants who only have one store. They can do things inside of our PIM that they can't do inside their Shopify environment. And that's also by design. Our vision is to be the best merchandising utility for all e-commerce merchants at a price that they can afford. And so excited to share a little bit more about that with you as we go along.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, what's interesting too is I have one merchant, for example, that they are an American brand in sports nutrition supplement kind of market.
Nice.
And crossing borders into Canada on certain ingredients, we have Health Canada, and then in the US, there's FDA, Food and Drug Administration. And Shopify Payments has been very clear to saying, hey, you know what? Our business partner Stripe is saying, no, sorry, this is a banned substance going into Canada. We're not going to underwrite that. You know, legal gets involved and stuff. And so what an interesting use case in this particular case, because I have firsthand knowledge of, hey, I want to use Shopify Payments. How do I hide products based on geolocation? Or it sounds like the opportunity, one use case with your PIM right now is saying, hey, when we're pushing out products, we're only going to push the Canadian acceptable products on the Canadian site and they get to go out. Am I on the right track
here? You're very much on the right track. In fact, thank you for that because it's a really great example of the types of things you can do by having the separation of your products in the PIM and then having it connected to, again, potentially multiple Shopify stores. So if you have a Canadian Shopify store, it's set up with, you know, Canadian currency and it's got Canadian shipping providers and all these other things, you've got governance issues. It's exactly a great example. So in the PIM, you create rules that say if this product is tagged a certain way or if it has a certain attribute or if it's in a certain category or if it's a part of a brand or maybe it's part of a brand, but there's also exclusion capability. You can put all kinds of different governors and levers and stackable rules inside the PIM that will determine what gets published where. So all your governance, all those rules, pricing tiers, for example, different price groups that in stackable price books, all these kinds of things you can do inside of the PIM. And then, of course, you set up the rules once and it's set it and forget it. Now you've set the rules up, and when you create new products, you add them, or maybe they import from a spreadsheet or they come in from ERP to the PIM, you enrich, you merchandise, and you set the rules, and the PIM takes care of syndicating the rest. Every time I change one little thing, automatically publishes to all of my connected outbound channels. No more copying and pasting your content in different places and no more wrangling spreadsheets too.
Well, very cool. Thanks for sharing that. That's exactly what I was hoping it did. And that sounds like a great use case. So I'll be definitely after this podcast, I'm going to be mentioning that to this brand. Let's talk a little bit about the origin story because I think it's so interesting. First of all, being Canadian and I hear the word Jasper, I always think of like Jasper National Park or Jasper, Alberta. Is there anything to talk about here?
Definitely, yeah. So the name, what's in the name? Jasper, that's one of the first things people think of, especially as we're a Canadian business and we continue to grow and scale. Our ambition is to be a global brand and continue to really, you know, bring some great value to the product information management space. Another part of the inspiration behind the Jasper name was actually the gemstone Jasper, which is a lesser known gem, but it's a very interesting one. And there is a very rare form of it called Ocean Jasper. That's where we get our teal and our logo. So it's, you know, that rare gem mixed with, you know, snow-capped mountaintops and wide open spaces and clean air. And everything you think about when you put those things together was the inspiration behind the actual name and the brand.
I know. I'm looking at a photo right now. The Jasper Stone, I'm looking at it. Pretty amazing. This is very cool. So let's figure out how all these pieces came together. It's always interesting to me, like, why people build what they build. Because, you know, it's more than just, hey, I want to have a SaaS company and get recurring revenue. And I mean, yes, it's a business, I get it. But on the flip side, I always think there's always like a desire or an expertise around something, either a personal use case that then now you see it has a wider adoption. But I just would love to unpack that a bit about, like, how did you and the founding team just build this thing? And yeah, how did it all come together?
Well, it came together very, very organically, actually. I think we found a need and a niche in the market that just didn't exist at the time. We started as an enterprise systems integrator, and prior to that, an agency. So we very much have a service background. And as a systems integrator, back in 2010, we started working with a very large brand in Canada, actually. They had about 80 stores, West 49, and they were later acquired by Billabong. And we helped them get online. We helped them integrate with their multi-million dollar JD Edwards back, or JDA rather, inventory platform. They had a bespoke payment system. They had some of the other systems that they had connected to, and then their storefront as well. And they had multiple stores. So we started developing, you know, these connections between these big bad back office systems. And we were very focused on being an e-commerce SI, systems integrator. And so what happened was, is we started to note, just based on customer demand and, you know, different customer requirements, business needs, that there wasn't a really good opportunity inside of your traditional platforms like an ERP or your storefront, your e-commerce store, to really have a rich, rich merchandising tool that really allows you to have a separation of duties, take some of your talented content staff, your marketing staff, the people that deal with imagery and assets and marketing and merchandising, take all of those kinds of disciplines and put them in a very focused place that supplements and rounds out the edges of, you know, the ERP and the storefronts. Both an ERP, traditional ERP, especially large scale enterprise platforms and Oracle and Dynamics and SAP, and e-commerce storefronts, large and small, have a lot of scope. They're already doing a lot of things. And so in each case, we found that product information management was very weak, or rather certainly limited. And we found that, well, you know, we can really do an excellent focused job of this, and started to, you know, develop early prototypes. And then I think it was by the time we reached 2006, we did that final pivot away from being a systems integrator to a PIM focused business. So yeah, we were very interested in recurring revenue. We were very interested in building a brand that had scale, and really just our vision, our desire was to take, you know, the solution for merchandising pain points and not just bringing it to an enterprise market, which we were particularly good at, and that's how we started. You know, very recently, we saw the demand in the small business space for these merchants, or even what we'll call micro merchants, so less than 100K in recurring revenue. We found that they all have product information pain points as well. And they certainly don't have the budget for some of these big systems. And so what if we could create this really great tool that allows them to focus their merchandising energies in one place? So I think that was really it. And we founded Jasper PIM along with some of the early larger PIM brands in the space, and have been here for a few years now, but it's been quite a journey getting here.
I'd also add too, you recently been accepted in the Shopify Plus Certified App Partner Program. And I know it's not an easy task, just having the, you know, the scalability and the reliability and the customer service. And like, there's so many benefits of being involved in that program, but also it's pretty rigorous. So maybe can you touch on that a bit about, like, what does that mean to Jasper PIM today, knowing that you're now Plus certified?
Well, that's been very big for us because candidly over, I guess, the past 6 to 12 months, a great deal of our new growth in this enterprise or, you know, large SMB to enterprise space has been within customers adopting Jasper plus Shopify plus. Generally, that's to power multiple stores and different types of marketplace settings, but not always. We have some very interesting use cases. So just more on the topic, I think we find ourselves in a place where we really, really heavily value just the scale and, you know, our appreciation for the Shopify ecosystem, our friends and our partners and clients and suppliers. It's an honor to be a certified Shopify Plus partner. And you're right, it was certainly some effort involved in getting things set up, but you know, we're really, really appreciating it there. And we've onboarded some fantastic customers, some big brands, recognizable brands, as well as just beautiful customers who run small businesses. And it's been great.
It's interesting. I do see a lot of like really well-known Shopify brands, you know, on your website. Did some internal research also, but like, you know, Samsonite, Sennheiser, you mentioned O'Neill, Corsair, the PC manufacturer for gaming and whatnot. And so it would appear based on seeing those that you're focusing more on the kind of larger, more enterprise customers. But do you also serve some more of the smaller SMB markets also? Just I wonder if you could just kind of share some details on kind of how you're trying to position the product in the marketplace.
I am happy to. Thanks. So there's actually a small merchant experience, recent one that I can speak to. Great new brand, soon to be on Shopify, actually. And my answer to your question is yes, absolutely. We do serve very small merchants. We believe we're the one product information management software as a service solution. Absolute quality of what was an enterprise PIM stripped down a lot of the more complex features and brought to bear an ultralight product, $99 a month. It's extremely price attractive for very small merchants in your marketplace in the Shopify, regular Shopify space, as well as Shopify Plus. We definitely deal with what we call small merchants and micro merchants. And micro merchants are between 100,000 and 250,000 a year in recurring revenue, and some merchants that are even less than 100,000 in revenue. There's a large group of those people, and really, really like to focus on bringing some great utility to them. And largely, it's the types of tooling, scheduling content in advance, and batch management of data, and, you know, organizing their content in a much better way so they're getting away from spreadsheet hell. We can provide that for these ultralight merchants. I have one such merchant I really get excited about. Her name is Steffi, and she founded the Superfood Goddess. Now, she sells, really inspiring young entrepreneur. She's got a lot of great perspective, sells, you know, like plant-based consumer goods, healthy lifestyle. Now, products and services. And so we discussed with her and we talked to her about the opportunity to use a PIM in Shopify and kind of pivot off her old platform. And what were the benefits for her is just ease of use, simplicity. A lot of people, we get that a lot. People are saying, hey, like, it's really friendly to work with Jasper PIM. It's simple, it's elegant, it's easy. But when I want to turn on the real horsepower, I can flip a couple switches and I get this enterprise capability all of a sudden. So it's a really great product that works really well with Shopify, and us being partners with you is very helpful because we can stay kind of on top of making our connector as fast as possible and as flexible as possible, taking advantage of new features when they come out, that kind of thing. So with this particular brand, we're very excited because just based on some work we've done together, we anticipate she'll grow her revenues by 25% next year. And the reason for that is because of the PIM, and she will start with one Shopify store, but she'll actually end up having two stores or three stores. And because of those specialty stores powered by the PIM, it's not feasible for her to manage that without a PIM. And in her case, it's going to help her reach new markets, new channels, new selling opportunities, which is one of our kind of value points or selling propositions. And so it's really exciting. More and more, we're finding these brands, they try out our 14-day trial in the app marketplace. And they just, the feedback we're getting, it's mixed. You know, we're very recently launched in that app marketplace, or at least and certainly trying to put more and more attention to it. So it's been really exciting.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. You know, I always think, like, what motivates a brand to know when the time is right for a PIM? But you've just made the comment that here's a brand that literally could do, you know, 100K a year or $500,000 in revenue or even less, and they can still get value and they still get access to maybe a slightly less feature-rich solution because they don't need all of the quote-unquote enterprise features, but they can grow with the tool as they grow. And so it's interesting. I always had this mantra in my brain, thinking that it was kind of a big brand privilege, I'm going to call it, meaning that, you know, only big brands that could afford it and had the people power to actually like use the tool and get the value out of it, like the human capital, so to speak, right? And so is there any data that you can see that would support like maybe why a brand needs to start thinking about vetting a solution? Or is this really almost like once you have product market fit and you're doing $10,000, $20,000 a month, you should probably think about getting into a PIM now to help you get to the next level?
Oh yeah, definitely. We can't stress that enough. We try to evangelize the notion of putting a PIM in as early as possible in your practice as a business. And we do have the luxury of talking with new brands, and many of them have never used a PIM before, which is one of our favorite scenarios, just because of the sort of, they don't know what they don't know, and the lights come on and they're like, wow, I had no idea how great this could be. And how we know that they're ready for a PIM is really when they find themselves, you know, they're getting lost in content management hell. It's becoming the biggest bottleneck. And it's not just bottleneck. They're not just spending a lot of time getting all their products set up and just managing them directly, let's say inside of Shopify. But when they start to find themselves wanting to copy and paste that content from Shopify or spreadsheets and paste them somewhere else and hopefully don't make a mistake, or they start to want to do en masse, large batch volume data changes, you know, merchants don't start that way, but then maybe, you know, if some of them have seasonality, as they get bigger, they grow, they scale, they bring in more products, or maybe they start with a small manufacturing internal set of products they do, services, and then all of a sudden they decide they want to drop ship. And now they go from a catalog of 100 or 200 SKUs to thousands or tens or hundreds of thousands of SKUs. That's another time people come to us for PIM, because they're just pulling their hair out. And this can be very small brands, mom and pop companies that, you know, it's one person, two person operation. And I think one of the things you touched on was the fact that it was big brand privilege before. It's part of the reason why Jasper brought an ultralight product to bear in the market, because even at the next price point, you know, $299 a month US, for example, for our light product, is still quite rich price-wise for your micro merchants. And so we really felt like this is a great opportunity. Let's do a big customer capture strategy. Let's show people how great a PIM can be and what it can do for them. And then as they grow, we grow. We're the one PIM. We can scale all the way from ultralight up to enterprise. And you can get all the same power and capability that some of our Samsonites and, you know, other large brands have.
Kind of reminds me of Yotpo as a company too. You know, Yotpo started off in the reviews category, and then through acquisitions got into the loyalty side, and then through acquisition got into the SMS side. And it's so interesting. And, you know, they allow certain things to be turned on and off, and they have entry-level plans. And I'm sure Klaviyo in the marketing automation world, same idea, kind of a very light, easy to use plan, but you can scale it up and start adding on and literally toggling on more things as you get more sophisticated. So I do appreciate the fact that you are thinking about the 1.7 million kind of Shopify core brands out there and the 10,000 or more Shopify Plus brands. So, you know, not that you're everything for everybody, but kind of through different levels of your product.
Correct. Exactly, Steve.
All right, cool. So I want to be devil's advocate a bit. You know, if you do a quick Google search or go to, I don't know, the Shopify App Store and you type the word PIM in, or you're starting to learn more about this industry. And I know it's a growing market, because here I am 20 years in commerce and I don't have a lot of experience in it. And that shocks me, because I've been involved in so many other parts of marketing technology kind of things. So that's why I'm so happy that you're on today. I'm learning a lot. So I just would love to understand about like how Jasper has been like intentional to differentiate from like others in the Shopify ecosystem, the notable peers, but even other people trying to do bits and pieces of product management or merchandising.
Yeah, such a great question. And yes, we've noticed that the PIM space has become quite frothy. There's more and more competitors all the time. You know, how does one differentiate? I think where we've been intentional is to make our product extremely friendly to Shopify merchants, both in just the user experience, intuitiveness of interface, seamlessness and ease of onboarding, being able to quickly connect to your existing Shopify store, pull all your products in, reconnect them, re-architect them, push them back out again, helping customers, you know, understand the value of doing that on its own. I think data enrichment, having the most powerful and agnostic set of publication channels that you can syndicate to, is one of the things that, you know, at an ultralight level is something that we're really looking at continuing to improve the value equation there. We have a mini digital asset management solution that many of our Shopify clients really, really like. So what this is like, imagine, you know, image management, video management, complex layered assets, private assets, public assets. You know, you can almost do a little bit of product lifecycle management within, like, you know, ideation within a PIM that you're not going to want to do in your single Shopify store. So, you know, we've got a lot of these powerful enterprise-esque features that we've turned on for the ultralight space. And I do think we're heavily differentiated against the rest of the PIMs or these sort of PIM lookalikes. Because yeah, when you search for PIM in the app marketplace, in the app store, you find a lot of brands that aren't actually a PIM at all. It's interesting. I think maybe,
I noticed.
You know, like they do some aspect of product information management, And so product information management being an extremely broad topic in and of itself, right? It covers a good majority of what Shopify actually does for you as a consumer. But of course, Shopify does lots of other things too. So if we're hyper focused on being extremely efficient at and focused on rounding out some of the edges, adding some really cool features and capability, as our roadmap has the ability to go faster and pivot quicker than a larger entity such as Shopify would. So we've got an ability there to kind of stay on top of that and really watch that space. I think some of our competitors are really going wide. They're building these massive, massive platforms, all kinds of experience management, this and, you know, all kinds of bells and whistles. And that's great. And if you're a larger brand, maybe you're going to want some of that stuff. But what we found is merchants are telling us that, you know, it's actually the more simple, the more elegant, the faster, the quicker, the easier that we appreciate. And when we're ready for some of that power, then great, we can turn on a few things perhaps, or just, you know what, some of those other things are just, it seems almost like some of the other PIMs are building these massive platforms that are trying to do, in our opinion, too much. They're not really focused on being a hyper-focused merchandising utility to allow merchants that feeling of power, that feeling of satisfaction when they can quickly, you know, schedule things in advance and just, again, set it, forget it, right? Just do it in the PIM and do it once and everything else is connected. You're going to make way less mistakes. That's great.
I'd also mention too, if you go to the App Store and you type the word PIM in, yes, there's other people in there, but you're number one in search. So that means something. So let's just leave it at that. And so that's a really good point about the fact that there are competitors out there, but I think it's difficult because there's a wide range of listeners of this podcast. There's a lot, you know, just based on just numbers alone, 1.7 million Shopify core customers and 10,000 or so ish plus customers. You can guess that a lot of people listening today are probably more in the core business of Shopify and that kind of platform. And so there still is a great opportunity to onboard this sort of customer to learn. And I think that's the key to the whole thing. It's almost like there's this education gap where, you know, Shopify is so easy to get started. And once you have product market fit and you're doing $10,000, $20,000 a month, you're like, hey, what's my unique value proposition? Like, how do I really understand? When you mentioned this thing about having this digital asset management kind of light kind of feature built into it, that a light bulb went off. I'm like, wait a second. Yeah, because we need to have a place. Like, where do all the images reside in a tool? And if it's 3D images, and like, there's so many things that are owned to that particular product that need to reside somewhere over its lifespan. And that's such an interesting way of having it all, once again, in a source of truth inside your application. So let's talk about Q4. We're right in the middle of it. And we know there's a lot of craziness going on right now. I mean, I have a book of business with the brands I manage, and the conversations are supply chain, number one. I have one brand literally that has 40 containers sitting like on the dock still that haven't been cleared. And they're stressed out about that. They're also, a lot of brands are worried right now about the shipping side of the business. I mean, like, what's going to happen? As we know, BFCM is going to blow up massively. It's just going to be like out of control again, like it was last year, but even bigger. More older people are buying online, forced to because of the pandemic. So more people are buying again this year. So I just would love to hear from your perspective, because you deal with small merchants and mid-size and enterprise. Is there anything that you believe a brand should think about, or anything that you're recommending to kind of prepare for this inevitable rush that's going
to
happen?
I mean, to start with, and it would sound almost like a little bit too, maybe a little too obvious or a little bit preaching from a platform, but the first thing we always talk about at this time of year is we get merchants that come to us and they seem to be extremely pressed and rushed and they want to get going now. And it's almost like they're taking a little bit of too much caution to the wind and they're feeling those pressures. They're a little bit insecure about their setup for the holidays. So, you know, they come, they want to experiment, and experimenting and prototyping at this time of year, if you've got some cycles for it, that we definitely encourage merchants to do. It's a great time to sign up for anything, let alone a PIM. If you can try it out in sort of a staging context and, you know, set it up and, you know, do sort of parallel operations while you're, you know, some of the other work that you've done to prepare yourselves for the holidays are all now, it's just a little bit of hurry up and wait, right? So now there was a lot of pressure. Now they've got a little bit of cycles and there's a little anxiety. This is a great time, I think, for merchants to prototype, to experiment, to spend a little bit of time planning out, plotting out, doing vendor selection, and then getting themselves teed up for like a hitting the ground running really fast in the first of Jan, or, you know, first couple weeks of the new year. That's probably pretty obvious. The thing that I find that's a little bit less so is the fact that many, now on the flip side, we do get some brands that have a really good handle on their data. And what they want for the holidays is they want an opportunity to go out and sell in new channels, sell in new environments. So don't mess with the existing status of what you have. Keep the status quo of what you have. Do a code freeze. Just be stable and trust the plan. Trust what you've already set up. But many brands come to us at this time of year and they're very, very sure. They've got a really good plan. They want to onboard very quickly. And the benefit they can get is, yeah, they can reach new selling channels right before the holidays, increase those sales. And then as far as sensitivity around people who are getting very concerned about supply chain issues, similar kind of thing. I mean, you could use a PIM at this point to just do some homework, get yourself ready. I would say that's the most simplistic advice that I can give. I mean, our product doesn't do much to help so much with supply chain problems, and it's not obviously a fulfillment or logistics tool. Yeah, that's really kind of like the best advice I'd have there.
Nice thing on the plus side too, with access to, I think, up to 10 expansion stores, and one of those expansion stores can be a staging environment. And so what a great opportunity for those plus brands that are listening today. Like, you, right from within your admin, you can spin up a new store, clone over your product data, order data if you want to. You can clone it all over to your sandbox instance. We just call it a staging instance. And then from there, add on Jasper and then play with it from within that tool. Go through the onboarding process, go through the tutorials and learn about what it is that you're missing. And then trying to figure out, well, how can I create this new superpower with my brand based on some technology that enterprises are using 100%, but now on the midsize can use it.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. You said that better than I do. I don't know what you need me for.
Oh, man. I'm hired.
that was much more succinct than I said. So thank you.
So I want to thank you for the Superfood Goddess story. I think, you know, from an entry level standpoint that, you know, she saw value in wanting to get involved with a PIM. I think that's a really good starting point. Let's kind of go up market a bit and let's talk about maybe a brand. Hopefully I don't put you on the spot here, but it'd be nice to talk about a brand that maybe implemented Jasper, a little bit, maybe a larger brand ideally. I don't know. I'm a marketer and I'm an entrepreneur at heart. A lot of people listening to me, that's exactly what they are. And I think it's just this education and storytelling around other brands. It kind of motivates people saying, oh, wow, they did it. Okay, maybe I should try this too. And so I don't know if you can share something that's of note, maybe one of the ones on your website.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So one of the first organic ones that comes to mind, of course, is Samsonite, a big global brand, very recognizable brand. You know, we have some other brands that, for example, you know, are quite common within technology, people in sort of technology industries. I love Samsonite because it is something that immediately everyone can get, whether they're in technology or not. And this is one of those serendipitous types of relationships, because I think there was a lot of raw emotion that the Samsonite team had when they kind of came to us. They were pretty fed up with their previous PIM, and they definitely did need a tool that would allow them to publish fast and with integrity, including what we call hot data, which is pricing and inventory. And not a lot of PIMs do a very good job of that at all in terms of, you know, using your APIs, the Shopify APIs, to really do a great job of publishing and syndicating the content in a really intelligent way. So we have Samsonite, this just global brand. They started, and when we say, hey, maybe people should prototype, they started by doing a segment of the market. And they have many Shopify Plus stores. They started with 4 or 5, and we were able to onboard them in record time. So you think about enterprise. Sometimes these cycles, these sales cycles can be 3, 4, 6 months. The implementation cycle can be 3 to 6 months. From contact to contract, you know, 2 to 3 weeks. From first setup to first deployment, 4 to 5 weeks, something to that effect. It was extremely satisfying for them and us. It was very cost effective. They loved the price. It was pure joy and relief when they found us. And so night and day experience that they had from the previous platform.
Lovely. Is there anything specific about the platform that they enjoyed? Because I guess, you know, being an enterprise brand, they obviously have access to the full platform and all the features. Was there anything notable inside that kind of made sense for them?
Well, it started with the mini DAM. They love the mini DAM. And we are producing, we're going to be publishing a full digital asset management experience within the Jasper platform no later than the next few quarters. And I know they're really looking forward to that as well. In general, they got a lot better support from us. Again, much faster and better syndication. They didn't have any headaches working with us. They really liked it. We were very big on collaboration. You know, Steve, I think that speaks to the pedigree of us as a systems integrator and working as a service business before we became a product business. Many of our engineers are very, very high touch, very white glove. You know, let's hold your hand. Let's walk you through this. And most of our best success stories have been with brands that treat us like a partner and not so much as a vendor. So collaboration is huge. We focused on a number of sort of, you know, import export capability that really really made their life easy, you know, working on an SAP integration with their back office. They just loved every part of that experience. The fact that our roadmap moves very, very quickly, I think, was an advantage over some of the other PIMs that they researched and also the one they came off of. So I think it's just the interface, the overall onboarding process, the fact that we were able to bring in their products quickly, painlessly, which is massive confidence builder right from the very beginning. It was just a dream project.
Wow, that's lovely. So let's talk about the future of the product. I mean, you just mentioned a moment ago about, you know, the next few quarters you're going to be working on, I guess, the full DAM, the digital asset management parts. So that's the images and the 3D, like just everything, just, I guess, to manage your digital assets versus maybe the product assets, meaning just like the text and the language and the pricing and these sorts of things. And so it's interesting that you're going down that journey, sort of expanding the product out. Is there anything else that maybe you can talk about that's public about, you know, like a North Star, I guess, for 22 and beyond? Just curious about, you know, how you're going to continue to offering value and assistance now that you're in the Shopify world.
Yeah, and we are so happy to be in the Shopify world. So it's really, we're going to be tripling down on that investment in both the Shopify Plus certified marketplace as well as the regular app marketplace, allowing more and more brands to experience what a PIM can do, focusing more and more on rounding out the edges of the platform and looking for additional value inside the PIM. So more specifically, yes, I've already talked ahead of old DAM digital asset management capability, which of course then starts to do things like version control. Version control is really important, and there are some great apps in the Shopify to do that. Version control in the PIM, really, really refined capability within the PIM, is something we're excited about. I think what you're going to see is, you know, we're finding that we're more and more just really focusing, I think, on collaboration with our larger merchants, continuing to, you know, drive that side of the business because it's very, very successful within our enterprise merchant set. As far as other sort of features and functions, again, when we look at the focusing on being the world's best merchandising utility, it's really going to start to come down to a lot less of drag and drop and WYSIWYG and front-end design type of merchandising. Because there's so much of that that's awesome in Shopify and awesome in Shopify ecosystem. No, it's going to be more around, you know, better tools, better utility within the PIM to enrich your data automatically, automatically translate language content, automatically price shop and pull it into the PIM so that you can see what you're selling, where you're selling, how much of it you're selling, business intelligence wrapped into the PIM more and more. You know, imagine if we know what you're selling because we're connected to your storefronts, and we do pull order management data down and we use that OMS data to help merchants make merchandising decisions that are based on what's selling, where it's selling, how much it's selling for, cost, like what kind of margins I'm making on things. Maybe I want to bubble up certain workflow and projects within the PIM. What do I want to spend more time curating content on? My best products, my best sellers, my highest profitability. And so just more and more of those things. I think that's going to be extremely important that we continue to, you know, stay very focused, not try to build way too many other things into the platform, but just make what we've got just infinitely better and way more profound. And then really market and advertise. I think you're going to see in the new year that we're going to be even more intentional about how we market and advertise to these small brands.
And this podcast, I'm sure, is going to help spread the word a little bit. So that's good. So, John, we are nearing the end of the show for today. And, you know, you've shared a ton. Like, you know, I take this on most episodes. I've scrambled down a lot of notes. It's just a life of learning is kind of my mantra. And I'm always come with an open mind every time I meet with a founder, because I know that you've really doubled down on this. And, you know, being a Plus certified partner now, you really are able to help the large mid-market enterprises, but you're also with an ultralight version, being able to help people at least get involved and differentiate themselves to others in the market that maybe are not using a PIM. And so once they get used to the workflow, I think that's fantastic. But just was curious if there's anything that you want to just, I guess, kind of final insights or any final takeaways that you'd like to leave with our listeners.
Oh, sure. And I appreciate the opportunity very much. It's a big responsibility in that way. But I am, and have been for many years, the biggest evangelist in taking risks and taking chances and then calculated risks. So it doesn't need to be well beyond your budgets and so on and so forth. I think I encourage merchants, actually some of them, I'd use the word challenge, because I find that many merchants, especially small ones, they do tend to operate in a very lifestyle mindset. And that is perspective, and that is what it is. And with much respect and appreciation, it's understandable. But I think that if you want to get to the next level of your e-commerce growth and business, especially considering the competitiveness of the landscape, that it's a really great opportunity to find different types of solutions, stitch them together, you know, get that 14-day free trial of your three favorite types of technologies that you don't know anything about, educate yourself, and try to, you know, kind of get out there and change what it is that your old habits, and look for some of the workflows and some of the things. I'm sure, Steve, you've seen it too. Everyone's seen this, where you've got small merchants and medium and big size merchants that are just redundantly doing the same copy and paste stuff over and over and over again. And I think maybe part of it is just that it becomes such a habit, almost like a ritual. Maybe it's just quiet time for them. But those are the things that you think about. You're consuming, you're wasting time. And so for small brand, large, any size, I call it a tomorrow fund. Like, just put a little bit of budget aside so that you can start to really prototype like the big boys do. Just try out a few different things and see how you go. Consider setting up another store. You might have one store. What happens if you had two? Maybe you could try something and experiment. Are a lot of your customers, are they part of the Latin community? Do they speak different languages? Do you want to merchandise to them differently? What if I could? It's more than just translating the content in Google Translate from English to French or Spanish. It's a completely different culture, and the way that you talk to them and the way that you can merchandise to them differently. And for merchants that do that, we've seen their sales increase by 6 to 8%, but it's a little bit of cost. It's a little bit of risk. So now it's a great opportunity to do that.
I'd also add to, you know, one other advantage, I think, of your platform, and it comes down to the security side of it. You know, when you're talking about like doing translations and doing different things, I mean, we just don't want to have everybody getting involved in your admin. And, you know, we always talk about maybe turning on two-factor authentication and doing all these different things to keep your platform secure. But on the flip side, because that's where all the bread and butter happens, that's where the money is being exchanged. So if you have team members that need to be involved in certain tasks and things, and, you know, part of that is getting involved with working on translation, or they're working on pricing, and they're working on certain things, it seems to make sense that they should actually be inside Jasper doing all of their work and let the Jasper tool sync as needed instead of being inside the Shopify admin.
Oh, once again, Ma, you've really hit on something that many, many people find immense value in. And it's exactly that. In particular, we've seen merchants that have like junior level people in their ERP, because they can only go to their ERP so they can put in some, you know, enrichment data, some attributes and descriptions. And of course, it's not even a really good place to put it. The tools are not very good anyway. So now it's exactly it. Now you're going to lock down your Oracle backend, and you need your Oracle systems integrators to come in and do that. What's that going to cost? But yes, it keeps your merchandisers and your content people hyper-focused on just doing those things in the tool. And of course, within our tool, there's permissions and roles and all kinds of things. But all to say that, hey, there's no better separation of duties than not having some of these staff or vendors, even better, right? Imagine giving your vendor the ability to connect to your PIM and, you know, pull a lookbook or pull content that's been curated by you. And I mean, it's just, man, the possibilities are limitless.
It's lovely. So how can people learn about your solution? Like, we'd like to send the site listeners today to learn more about your product.
The best place to start will be jasperpim.com, so our own website. And of course, for Shopify merchants, probably the easiest thing to do is check out our app in the Shopify App Store. And we do have a nice little video there that actually just shows you how quick and easy it can be to get it set up, connected, and publishing your content. So certainly that would be a really good starting point. And yeah, we do have a full knowledge base, which is support.jasperpim.com. Lots of goodies in there. Yeah, that would be the best place for them to kind of start learning.
All right, perfect. And I know we spoke offline just before recording, and understand that you would like to share. We have actually a few offers today for those that want to get under the hood or want to learn about the value that they could have by enjoying Jasper.
Awesome. Yes, so we're willing to offer 25% discount for any listener of the podcast and for a 12-month term. So, you know, for some people, that sounds great, but, you know, I'm going to sign up for 12 months and maybe I want to try before I buy. Perfect. We do have our 14-day free trial, but what we'll do is, instead, if you simply just flip us a note, we'll provide 2 additional free hours of onboarding. That's valued about $450 US. We'll do that for free to help a merchant, whether they're on Ultralight, Light, Standard, or Plus Enterprise, regardless of the tier. Before you sign up for those 12 months and take a 25% discount, we'll give you the 14 days that's already exists, but we'll also throw in some hours of onboarding and we'll really hold your hand through it. I think that, if nothing more, hopefully that really educates the merchant, costs them nothing. And, you know, oftentimes within 1 week, the first part of those 14 days, hopefully you'll get a lot of perspective. And we really think that you'll appreciate the product and hopefully stay on us in many years to come.
All right. love it. Yeah, white glove onboarding, I think, is a key. I think a lot of people don't know what it is. And I think if you're able to help them learn about it and add it on and see how it can make a difference, I think that's totally worth it. And thank you for that. And thanks for the discount. So I think it works great on both sides of the coin. A couple weeks of a free trial, kick the tires and really see what it is that you don't know about, because you don't know what you don't know. So try it. You got 2 weeks to give it a whirl, especially maybe in the downtime that could happen later on, certainly throughout December for sure. Or if you have bandwidth now to get involved with it, I think it's probably worth it. And then not to mention the white glove side of it, just the learnings directly from someone from within your organization. I think that's amazing. So what I'll do is I'll have ecommercefastlane.com/Jasper, and that's going to redirect to a landing page, and it'll have all the details there of these two offers. 25% off for the year plan once you've kind of made a decision this is right for you, and a second offer of just where do you get the 14-day free trial, how can we get up and running on that, and how do we get the white glove kind of onboarding support for free also for a couple hours. So I really massively appreciate that. You know what, I learned a ton today. And you know, one thing I always say kind of in closing for all these podcasts is that, you know, Shopify is on a mission like you are, but we really are to make commerce better for everyone. We're trying to build a path that leads to more entrepreneurs. And you know, and obviously the platform is growing and successes of the merchants on the platform are definitely growing. It's also really clear that, you know, you really kind of stuck your flag in the sand, so to speak, in the Shopify ecosystem. And I believe that's a smart choice right now, being tightly aligned, but kind of loosely coupled, so to speak, with Shopify. And I just wanted to thank you for helping brands at least educate them on what's available. I know there will be an improved efficiencies and people learn about what a PIM is and they can learn about what a DAM is. I think that education component paired with your platform, I think it's going to be a big hit. So I really appreciate you coming on the show and sharing today.
Awesome. Well, thanks again so much, Steve, for having me on. Appreciate it.
All right. Have yourself a great afternoon.
You too.
All right. Take care. Now, this episode was brought to you by the team at Rewind. The common myth is that Shopify has a backup that you can use when something goes wrong with your store. The truth is, they don't. So what do? You use Rewind to protect your store with automated backups. The Rewind app should be the first thing you install to protect your store against human error, misbehaving apps, or even collaborators gone bad. It's like having your very own magic undo button. It's trusted by over 100,000 businesses, large and small. So enjoy peace of mind and install the Rewind app today. And make sure to respond to any of their welcome emails and mention the e-commerce Fastlane podcast, and you'll get your first month absolutely free. Learn more by checking out Rewind in the Shopify App Store or by visiting rewind.com. Well, that's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank you, a loyal listener of e-commerce Fastlane. It's my hope that this podcast is offering you a ton of value through growth strategies, tactics, and exclusive insider tips on the best Shopify apps and marketing platforms, all with my personal goal to help you build, launch, grow, and scale with Shopify. Thanks for investing some time today and listening to the show. I'm so proud and excited that you have a growth mindset and are a constant learner. I truly appreciate you and your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the rest of the week and keep thriving with Shopify.